Good morning. The time is 8:07. Currently, cloudy skies in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street at our downtown studios. Mostly cloudy skies, temperature of 25 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in the second hour of the program at about 9:15-ish or so, whenever he comes through the doors, Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater and Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. He'll be joining us as he does every other Wednesday. Also on those very same every other Wednesdays here in hour number one, we are joined by Bob Look. And Bob, good morning.
Well, good morning. You know, I really enjoy the opening with the Phil Collins song.
It's actually Genesis. I have a separation there.
I just am used to Phil Collins' voice.
I know.
But when I hear the song, and then the next thing you know, I look in the other room, and Ian, the producer, is dancing. I mean, he must have been really great during the disco years. Maybe he's too young for that.
Disco. He was probably younger. Ian Welsh on the other side of the glass. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you gonna move around in there and keep pumping to the music?
Oh yeah. The music is pretty catchy. I will be dancing a little bit.
He plays air drummer in room there. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I do like it. So much fun.
But Ian, thank you again for joining us.
Happy to be here.
I tell you, we were talking before you came on the air, before we get to the serious stuff, you know. Last night I had a road trip. I was down with the Wausau West Boys basketball team in Monona Grove. I was looking for, signs for the honor Bob Look, who always goes down there to the voice of Badger hockey, last quarter century.
But I do spend time in Monona. My brother lives there.
That's what you're saying. You'll be heading down there. But again, a Tuesday night, I was saying, you got to have these games on Friday night, because then, don't have the show the following morning. Yeah. Of course, it's like 2.5 hours, whatever it may be. I was fortunate it was on the bus, so didn't have to be focused on the road the entire time. But I was thinking of, coming in here, and it's not even the early show. I mean, this is the 8 o'clock show. It's not right. The early show, and I know for many years you were doing the early show.
Thank goodness you're not doing the morning drive.
Especially also real fast. I know that number one, you were doing sports. Number two, you're doing the morning show. And number three, you were actually doing a fairly decent commute to get onto the morning show as well. So I don't know if I can really complain.
My last professional full time job was with Civic Media's WFHR,
hometown radio. Hometown. Oh, I should get this right.
Yeah, but the good folks are there, and I worked for four years. And, not living in the Wisconsin Rapids area, I was up here, up in this part of the world, out in the D.C. Everest district, and making that drive, especially wintertime, where my tracks on the highway were the first ones before the plows even got out there. So
deep breaths, right?
Yeah, that was... Well, that's when I started to really enjoy Skype. When I started figuring out, I could just stay home, do this show, and I can do my office work like maybe every other day, or it was just being smart instead of just driving every morning, the same deal. And James was part of the show. He's still there. James Meloff.
Right.
And all the gang there. So
locally grown radio.
I got to get that right. I have not visited the new studios since Civic Media has taken over. But I keep getting invites from
Pam. Nice, much nicer. Pam.
Terrific. Yeah, Pam's the stalwart of WFHR radio in Wisconsin Rapids.
I got to say something right now about Pam, because, don't deal a lot with Pam, but once in a while, last week, we did a game. I did a game in Wisconsin Rapids, and she had sent me a note saying, "Are you doing the West Lincoln hockey game?" And I said, yeah, I'm going to be over there. So she said, "Well, then we can promote it on our radio station." And then the next day, she sends a nice note, said, "I caught some of the game, and it was really, you did a nice job." Just nice. Sometimes you just, again, I know we're going to get into some other things, but boy, it's so wonderful when people just treat other people with little acts of kindness. And it made my day, and I know that she does that for so many other people. And as we go through our days, and we see, and it's even for public figures, do nice things instead of, I was talking to somebody, that's doing a little work with Civic Media yesterday, going to be doing a project, And I'm talking about, you know, it's too easy when we're on the radio to sometimes try to stir the pot and get people get angry. You know, I think we all need to just be nice. And that was such a wonderful thing that she did. And she does that all the time. And I know you've known her for years as well.
So her and, of course, her husband, Carl Hilke, they met while they worked together at WFHR. And Carl was did news and talk shows and that with WFHR for years. He passed away from cancer about four years ago, I believe, right now. And I mean, just beautiful people, and it was so much fun working there. And so I didn't mind that commute. As long as I'm going someplace, I'm having a good time and being treated like a human being. I'll be happy to go.
And real fast as well. That's a good point, because I was thinking about that in the last couple of weeks as well. About, you know, some days are long days. You know, start very early and then get back really, like last night. I got home around midnight from my game. But I was thinking about it, though. However, I'm one of the lucky ones. And I hope that many other people are the lucky ones, because when you're able to do work that you enjoy, that you just you don't look at the clock, you don't say, oh man, I start today off and on a Wednesday I'll be here till after 8 because I have the high school show tonight, and it's like I'm looking forward to that. And I just hope that the people that run for office and the people that have the ability to change people's lives try to do everything they can in order to make people's lives better. And that's sometimes I worry when I drive around and I see what new businesses are coming up. Are those jobs that are going to be fulfilling for people? And again, I know I've been very lucky in my career where you enjoy it and you don't feel like, man, it's a grind. And I just hope for everybody out there. And I think one way that would bring people together is if they had, you know, each of them in their own way, that ability to fulfill themselves. And again, as we go into 2024, there's so many different shades of what we should be looking at. Instead of, I think, you know, sometimes the obvious things that we talk about all the time. That's one thing with the things that we do. And I think even with you going down to Madison every weekend, we get time to think, because we have these road trips. And you start thinking about maybe trying to think outside the box a little
bit. But how I feel when I get to Madison and when I get involved with the actual game process, you know, we're planning the production of what we're going to do, how we're announce this here, this do this here, and just the coordination with the people who produce the game, the sound effects, the lights, and all that stuff. And you work within that organization, but what makes it fun is that they treat me very well. They're not, this is my 26th year doing it, and there's people still, why do you drive all that way to do this? I said, because first of all, I get treated, really well. I mean, they're very nice to me. You know, the university has gone over backwards when I was going through prostate cancer, going through external radiation treatments. I mean, Bob, what, you just, take care of yourself first. We will back you up any way, shape, or form. And they did all these things to just make it a little easier for me to get things done. And they stood by me through some tough times, and they were very, very, and again, this was after the season was over. This was in their off season.
They weren't worried about you being there the next weekend. I mean, because then there's an actual point where you're doing something. Here, it was not going to affect them, but yet they showed the caring. And that's, again, any employer. We're all lucky, the ones that have the employers like that, that say, okay, man, that little bit of less stress that makes things so much better.
I have fun doing what I'm doing, and the best part about it, they are good to me. It's just a great, I look forward to it.
I tell you.
In fact, my wife used to always say, you really love doing this, don't you?
When you just said that, I have fun. Sometimes, I almost feel guilty that I have so much fun at times doing my work. You know, it's like, because we know of people. I know my parents worked so hard all their lives at jobs I don't think that were fun. They did the job. It was hard work. They were able to pay the bills and help me and my three siblings, you know. And sometimes I think about that, where you wake up, where it's a hard day, where I think that there was a certain level where they had connections with the people they worked with and all that, but fun, I don't know. And sometimes I just feel very lucky, and I just hope that, again, that the people have the ability to, either through the employers or coworkers or anybody else, and also the people that, you know, make decisions within governmental agencies, that are able to do things that allow people to fulfill themselves to the greatest ability. Because I do think there's still a lot of wasted talent out there that just needs something in order to spark it.
But let me also point out that through my professional career, there have been several places that were not not good as far as places to work. I did it because I had to do it to pay bills, pay the rent, basically exist. But you go through it, and you do the best job you can, and then you look for better opportunities. I was the kind of person that would stick with places maybe a little too long.
I know.
Because I tried to, you know, be loyal, because they gave me a shot. And if I would have been a little smarter and realized that, well, they weren't in my best interest, they're just looking to use my experience, get the place going and successful. And then the next thing you know, we've decided to go a different direction, meaning they're going to hire somebody about half of what they're paying me.
We got to come back, and we're going to start talking about even more. Stop looking at the mirror about talking about me. No. We're going to start talking about some important stuff that affects all of us as we continue here on this Wednesday morning. The time is 8:18. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I'm Chad Holmes. Join former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night, plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, 822. Little bit of brighter skies, 25 degrees. We'll have a chance to get a complete look at our forecast with meteorologist Jennifer Fuchiski coming up at 9:06. And again, after that, in hour number two, Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, the executive director. So much going on during this December and holiday season. We'll find out what's happening at the Grand and the PAF with Sean coming up in hour number two. Again, as we do so every other Wednesday, joined by Bob Luckenly, sort of a connected, because, you know, I know you do so much sports, I do sports as well, but connected between politics and sports yesterday, that, again, I think a lot of us want a certain seriousness when it comes to the people that lead us. And when I saw the story yesterday, because 2 days ago, on 3 days ago on Sunday, they announced the teams that are going to be in the NCAA football playoff. And one of the teams that missed out, the fifth team, was Florida State. And they were undefeated, but they lost their quarterback, so the judgment was, hey, we're not quite the same team, whatever it may be. I don't follow that as closely as I used to. But then Ron DeSantis comes out and says that the state of Florida is going to put aside $1 million for legal costs for Florida State to sue or to pursue legal remedies against the college football playoff because of the outrage. It shows, again, a lack of seriousness from somebody that should be better than that, even though we know he's not better than that. But again, it reminds me of what a talk show host would do to kind of stir the pot. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Ron DeSantis would be a better talk show host than a political leader at this point.
Well, listening to him on debates and that, maybe talk shows is not his next
That's true.
Deal. Definitely not being an actor, because his facial expressions, he has no idea where he's going. But let's put it this way. You know, the state of Florida is just going to basically roll up $1 million into a big ball and just throw it in the wind. Because first of all, I would have liked to have seen Florida State go, but the point is, it's an invitational.
Right.
Okay, so if the NCAA, and again, I guess this is the last year they're going to be doing it this way, you know, picks the four teams, they are picking the four teams that they feel are the four best college football teams going right now.
They're a brain trust.
Yeah, and you can say all you want, well, this team hasn't lost all year. Right. Well, okay, but this is an invitational. Even if they go to eight teams or 12 teams or whatever teams, there's still going to be somebody on the outside going, hey, you know what, we did this and did that. It's an invitational.
In March, we'll see that when there's 68 teams.
Yes, it will. So it's an invitational. It sucks for Florida State, and I feel bad, you know, for the fans and the people who attend Florida
State. But beyond that, I really don't even care about that. It's the idea of DeSantis pandering again. Leadership needs to be better than that. I hate that. Again, I know there's no expectations for people like that. But at the same time, if he gets any reward from that, that then shows on the people itself. I hope there's no reward for this pandering, because, again, it's just pathetic.
But it's, you know, name me a politician who never looks forward to an opportunity to put themselves beside either something very positive or something that'll gain them goody-goody two-shoe points.
I know. I mean, even here in Wisconsin, I mean, was it yesterday or the day before where the governor signed the big bill to keep the Brewers in Wisconsin for another 30 years? And again, I'm of kind of two minds of this. I am very over the aspect of Major League Baseball or NFL or basketball or hockey, whatever it may be, owners basically putting out that little, well, if you don't, we're going to have to look around and talk to other people. And I understand that if there was ever a time to do it, it's probably now with the budget surplus that is being sat on by the Republicans looking for massive tax cuts. But at the same time, this was a story that came out of nowhere. Then all of a sudden it's like, we got to do it now or else they're leaving. They weren't going anywhere. But I will say that the governor was pandering a little bit with the big signing. Oh, we're keeping the Brewers here. I mean, I'm a big Brewer fan. I'm a big sports fan. But at the same time, it's such a bad taste in my mouth. What's your take on that? I mean, is the governor pandering or is the governor doing the right thing? Or what do you think?
Well, he's pointing out the financial benefit of having this activity that's going to help businesses and that.
Again, is arguable.
Yeah, it's arguable, but
I mean, there is certain, but not to the level that the people that push some of these paid for studies. I mean, there's some falsities there.
I remember my boyhood favorite baseball team, the Milwaukee Braves, leaving, and I had a pretty tough time of it as a youngster,
right.
Because this was when I was 10 years old, and this baseball team that I basically, you know, these are my idols growing up, from, you know, Warren Spahn to Henry Aaron to Eddie Matthews, Joe Adcock, and the rest of them.
And you remember who the owner was, right? William Bartholomew.
Yeah, William Bartholomew at that time. You know, again, at right. my age, I'm 10 years old, I really could care less who was the owner. I was looking at the baseball players, and then.
But again, it was a greedy move. But, and again, there's still the greed aspect. But again, these are you know, I mean, the amount of public money that goes into this. I understand that there needs to be upgrades, but at the same time, again, the hypocrisy of the same, if you again look at the political donations, they don't like any kind of government handout except to themselves. And that's, you know, it's frustrating on my aspect.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of people.
You are
going that route.
You are just so doggone pragmatic on this issue, I tell you.
Well, I look at it from the point of view also that I don't think the current ownership is going to be owning this team much longer. Because right now, a lot of the worries about the value, the assessed value of the franchise has gone up nice considerably for the current ownership having this agreement with the state as far as the maintenance of the property. And you get into the situation where, all right, now somebody is serious about purchasing this franchise, they're going to have to, like, you know, belly up a little bit more jajing. And being a future capitalist, venture capitalist, you're always looking for the good deal.
We got a news update coming up and then more with Bob Look here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app with Bob Look. I'm Chad Holmes. A reminder that later on this evening, stick around for all the great programming here on Bull Falls Radio, but then I'm back at 6 o'clock as every Wednesday night, big high school sports show. We're now in the midst of the winter sports season, basketball and hockey. We'll talk plenty about that. Our student athlete guest tonight from the 5-0 Wausau East boys basketball team, their current leading scorer had 23 points in a win last night at Rhinelander, Jesse Napgezik. He'll be our student athlete guest coming up at 7 o'clock tonight here on Bull Falls Radio. And let me ask you this real fast before we get into serious stuff. You're around, you know, college athletes quite a bit. You were obviously around high school athletes a lot, as you did high school play-by-play for many, many years. I've noticed that these kids, to me, seem like they're so much better in terms of talking, in terms of interviews than I used to be.
Oh my gosh. I used to dread, and this is, now we're talking, you know, like late 70s, mid-70s, late 70s, early 80s. And I would try not to interview kids. You know, I hate to say kids, high school students. Not
young
that,
people.
They were not nice to talk to, but when you put a microphone in front of them, it's like, well, back then, it was like, oh my gosh, there's a microphone. And suddenly you get a lot of yes, no, I don't know, you know, type answers. And so I kind of avoided doing, you know, student. In fact, I had coaches at some of the teams who would not permit me to interview high school students. Now, it just shows you, you know, how things have evolved, where people who are not of adult age are so comfortable in the fact of being able to have their voice recorded. I mean, when I was a little kid, that was one of the neat things I used to, my cousins had a little reel-to-reel tape recorder. I was just fascinated with this to be able to record my voice and play it back, going, oh, this is so cool. That probably was got me fired up to do what I do for or did for a living. And, you know, where my other cousins like, oh, this is goofy. We don't want to do that. But I could spend all day with a tape recorder just, you know, whatever. So,
were you always comfortable? Because the thing I tell people, the first time I ever sat on a microphone, I couldn't talk. I mean, literally, I could not talk the first time I ever sat in front of a microphone. Were you always a kind of a natural in front of a microphone?
Yeah, I guess because I played with bands when I was in high school. And so, you know,
that connection was there.
Audience.
Yeah.
But I still remember my first words as a paid broadcaster. This is for a little radio station in Port Washington. I was doing the Sunday night shift, and they, you know, the guy, the boss says, "Well, come in early, like an hour and a half, and the guy before you will show you around and blah 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 blah." Okay, so I there early, and the guy who was there just kind of looked at me like, "Oh, okay, this is a new part-time, you know, schlep here." Okay, well, I'll get to that when you get close to your time for your shift at start at 6. I'll show you around the board and everything. So I'm, you know, just kind of killing time, you know, in the station looking at the UPI teletype and stuff. So it's now 6 o'clock, and so I'm going to take over. So he exits the studio, and I sit down behind the board. So I'm expecting him to kind of give me the quick little run through, which pot or control is this and that. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's got his jacket on. He says, "Hey, have a good night." He's out the door. And here I am.
There's training, huh?
And there's a 45 record playing on one of the turntables. And so I knew, you know, okay, I went to broadcast. I got to get another record set up. So I just, they had these 45s in boxes underneath the book. So I just grabbed, put it on there, and queued it up, you know. Didn't look what the song was in that. And all of a sudden, and there's nothing on the board that designated which pot was for which thing here, except there was just one little, word saying you, Y-O-U. And I figured that must be the microphone pot. So I hit that, you know, and I look, and the song that I picked to be the first song that I would ramp up or talk over, and I looked at it, and I went, turned up the mic, and I says, "WGLB, my name is Bob Look. I'm so happy to be on the air for the first time in my life, and this song seems totally appropriate." And it was Sister Janet Mead with the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven." And that was my first.
Number five with a bullet.
So there it was. That's who started the broadcast career.
I'm sorry. I mean, people. I'm going to get into old man territory because I tell people, I say, "Why are you talking?" When you mention the teletypes, I miss teletypes. I miss where they would actually, you know, you would have the bells. Printing out and print. Because I remember back the first time I dealt with it was I was in college at the radio station in Eau Claire. And I remember pulling that off and seeing Kurt Cobain had killed himself and David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. So this was like 1993 when I was going to school. I miss that. Old man stuff, you know. It's like,
I remember.
Where you have that actual, where you actually rip the news. Rip it right off the headline.
United Press International machine, you know, the printing machine, they'd have these bells. And if you had a lot of bells, like if you had 10 bells go off, that meant that we are under attack or the president has been killed or died, right? Yeah. I mean, the big end story.
Yes.
So I'm on the air one afternoon, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, you know, and the UPI machine was in this like a closet that was adjacent to the studio. And I went there and I looked in Memphis, Tennessee. Rock and roll, Elvis Presley has died at the age of 4. And I'm like, whoa. And you're in you rip it and you go in the studio and immediately I found because I was playing country music station, and so Elvis did run in country stations. Sure. And so I was able to announce to the public that Elvis Presley had passed away, you know, on before even like TV or coverage and that.
The unscripted aspect of the job is probably the most exciting part of the job.
Yeah, you got to fly by the seat of your pants.
Whether it's like tornadoes are coming through or anything else in news headlines, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Enough
going through down memory lane here, I tell you. It's like, again, people, Civic Media wants people involved in our business. So if you want to get into the exciting world of broadcasting, check out the website. There are some opportunities. Hey, we're going to 2024. I've been trying to put together in my mind about, because it's going to be, a very interesting year. I've always been somebody that's been a huge I call it fan of election years, because when I was a kid, I was always so excited when there was an election year. I mean, I got old VHS tapes of election night coverage going back to the 80s. I mean, it's insane. I was such a historian in that realm. As we go into 2024, and we're saying off of the air, again, Donald Trump seems to be, I swear, he's trying to push it as far to say, how far can I go before people stop voting for me? Because he just seems like, again, I will say this, it does not seem like he's got anybody in his ear saying, oh, this is the best way to win more votes. How are you apprehensive in terms of how, whether it's people like myself or other people that are covering 2024, how do you feel like we stand? Have we learned anything over recent years? Because you're obviously someone who has gone, you've gone through it in front of a microphone, you've gone through it with your name on the ballot. As we go through into 2024, apprehension, excitement, what are your feelings?
Long way to go. I remember other elections where so-and-so was the front runner, and by the time it got down to the real primaries and the people sitting there and putting an actual check mark next to a name, things change. And you know, it wasn't that long ago where Rudy Giuliani was considered to be the unquestioned Republican candidate for president, and see how that worked. I remember Scott Walker running for president. And remember that?
He was one of the...
And everyone thought he was the perfect candidate.
And 4 years ago, Joe Biden was on the mat. Yeah. You know, he got off to a terrible start during the process.
And again, it's early stuff. And things will play itself out. And you're going to get people starting to... when the decision comes down to when you are in that voting booth, and I've said this before on our little chats... I firmly believe that people, you know, all the BS goes out the door, all the little innuendos and little, you just go, what's the best choice? And they'll go with it.
I'm starting to believe some of the things you've said more than I used to be honest with you, because you've been somebody that has come out and said, you know, don't look at these numbers. Don't get too deep into it. And there's a combination here of both, I think, the numbers. It's so easy to say one thing when it's sort of theoretical. And also another thing is, I do wonder, again, if we as a media, and I put myself out there as well, are missing the boat so often. I mean, really missing the boat completely on what people think and what people think are important and true perceptions of candidates. Because, again, I have this fear, again, that there's such an aspect of dollars and cents involved now in the news that wasn't there when we were growing up, that is skewing the way that these events are covered.
Yeah, and again, it's up to people to, you know, cut through the BS. You know, find out.
Well, that worries me as well.
But unfortunately, there's some people only want to hear what they want to hear. And okay, fine. If that's the way you want to live your life, you go right ahead and do your thing. But I again believe in, you know, the majority of common sense people, and I just believe that that's what's going to eventually, you know, rear its head. You know, they say, well, you know, he Trump won in 2016. Well, he won the Electoral College, the regular, you know, just the vote for vote in the United States. He did not win that by a long shot. Now, 3.5 million more votes for Hillary Clinton than was for Donald Trump. But they keep it, oh, but he won the Electoral College. Well, the Electoral College is something that for years people kept, you know, saying, why are we still doing that?
Well, we still are.
It's still are, which, you know, one thing about government. They don't get around to it right away.
But I will say again, I've said this recently as well, is that there is something about this country that when you have a choice between change and the status quo, it's hard to change. For I think there is something within the DNA of this country that makes it easier for the status quo. Do you agree with that?
Well, to a certain extent, if the status quo is totally messing it up, or not doing what the people want done, there will be a change. There will be a course correction. Yeah, it takes a while.
But unfortunately, it feels like in our country's history, the only time we get significant change is when we do get to a point that it can't be held back anymore. Economic upheaval and other aspects where it's like, oh, okay, we got. But being proactive is not, I think, a strength of the governments of our country over the years.
Well, you also have people who think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And then they get the other side of the fence and go, well, wrong move. But they get back to where it was nice and steady.
Well, I think that's also a very noticeable pattern that we've seen in our country's history as well. The constant back and forth, yeah. You know, between what you call progressive philosophy and conservative philosophy. You don't see it stay one way or the other for that long.
Yeah, I've changed my mind on things in the past,
which is a good thing.
Which is what the reason why I changed my mind is that I took in the information, the evidence, the points that were being made, weighed them on what makes sense to for most people, or in my case, and then maybe change my thoughts on a certain issue. And that's just if you're a smart human being, if you look at the stove and you see the burner is bright red, don't put your hand on the burner.
Words to live by.
And then all of a sudden you go, I wonder why. And then I put my hand in it. Well, it's common sense.
Think about that, people. We're going to come right back. One more segment with Bob Look here on this Wednesday morning here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
I'm Chad Holmes. Join former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night. Plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, 851. About 25 degrees out there here in downtown Wausau. And we were saying here in the break, your phone ain't ringing. And normally we get interrupted by your phone. Have you lost your friends that have been calling
you
all the time?
Well, a few, I'm sure, because I responded in kind with gibberish. But nonetheless, I still got another week or so of that to tolerate. But hey, you know what's neat about these phones is that it reminds you of things that have happened in your past. Coming up in a few days, I'm going to have eye exam, and I pretty much know that I've got a cataract in my right eye that's going to be taken care of. And I had that procedure done on my left eye. And then here's my phone reminding me, 12 years ago today, I just put in the entry, well, my eye works. It's a success. It was 12 years ago today, and in a couple of days, I'm going to go back in, and they're going to tell me, yeah, you got a cataract in your right eye. So probably have to go through that deal here in the next few weeks.
Well, then in 12 years, they'll have another reminder online about this one.
Yeah. All these great things being reminded.
It's funny. I was talking to you like 2 minutes ago about these messages, and I just got this literally popped up on Instagram about how you get these fraudsters out there that are just trying to suck you in to click it and to basically, ruin your computer and phone. And I was saying that I got this, you've been chosen to be part of, we're giving away $12 million and you're one of the people to get a few. And I said, and it says, I was mentioned in a comment, you have won a Shine gift card, whatever that means.
So it's like, please punch on.
I mean, yeah, it's like
give them all your
time to take a break and go get my Shine gift card. But again, people, don't fall for those tricks. Hey, I know we always mention that. That's what we talk about the Badger hockey. Looks like they had a little bit of a dip there, but then they've come right back.
They're fine.
I know they're fine, but they got to number one, but then they lost a couple of games. But it looks like it looks like this is a real good team, right?
It is a good team. And you know what I like about it more than anything else is that the style of play. I think I remember, we talked and before the season started, and I said, there's one thing that has stood out before the season started, and that is the captain of the team is Mike Verlicky, who's a defenseman. Not a goal scorer, not the best player, but he has gone through injury problems, and he is a tough, no-nonsense defenseman. And I said back then before the season started, this team may become a real defensive stalwart in college hockey. Well, right now they're the number one defensive hockey team in Division One. And it was like, now I'm not saying I'm a soothsayer, but if that's your captain, a guy who wants to prevent goals rather than score a whole bunch and just basically beat the other team by outscoring them, you're going to be set for some success. And it's fun. And the crowds are good, 10,000 or more now. They're loud. They're getting more, back to the it's outstanding fun. And Penn State coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And Friday, I know they don't broadcast, here on Bull Falls Radio, but on their radio broadcast, they're going to be bringing back the old team.
I saw that. That's so good.
Yeah, Bill Howard, the goalies coach. They honored him this past Saturday at the game, and of course Paul Brown doing the play-by-play, and it's going to be on just the radio broadcast on Friday night. And it's a 8 o'clock start on Friday night.
I put on my social media last week when I saw that. I said, if anybody out there finds any enjoyment when they listen to me do a hockey game, it's because of those two guys. When I was a kid, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, we remember how we would avoid watching the local sports at the 10 o'clock news, make sure that we didn't watch it because they would tell us what the Badger score was that night, because then they would play on public television at 10:30, the tape delay broadcast. And those guys were they were truly the voices of me growing up.
They did more to promote the game of hockey in this state than anything else.
I agree 100%.
I mean, that's what got me interested. Was those games because again, this was before cable television.
Yeah.
And so after 10:30 on a Saturday, Friday and a Saturday night, old movies, maybe, Tonight Show, and that was about it.
Yep.
There wasn't too many, others are floating around.
Nope.
That was a game to watch. And again, because I'm living in Milwaukee, you didn't know whether they won or lost. A lot of times.
One more thing about Coach Hastings that impressed me, because last weekend I went down to Milwaukee with the Wausau West hockey team Friday and Saturday. I was on the bus. And I'm on the bus and we're going down, and there was Wausau West has a white jersey, a blue jersey, and a gold jersey. And I saw this gold jersey sitting on the by the coach. And I said, well, are you guys wearing gold tonight? And he goes, no, this is a jersey that's going to the UW because Coach Hastings wants to have a jersey from every Wisconsin high school hockey team. And, and the thought is that he is connecting with the hockey coaches and the hockey community here in the state of Wisconsin and doing the right things right from the beginning, which is something that I thought, hey, that is outstanding.
Well, again, if you have local talent, and again, when the Wisconsin Badgers hockey team won the national championship in 2006, they had more kids or more players from Wisconsin than any other team in the history of Badger hockey.
And right here in Wausau.
Correct.
Andy Brandt.
Well, we had the Central Wisconsin group there with Andy Brandt from Wausau West, Joe Pavelski from Stevens Point, and Joe Piscula from Antico.
Fantastic. But no, I love the fact that Coach Hastings is connecting here with the hockey coaches.
Fun. Yeah, that's fun. Keep an eye on them, folks. You may be looking at a serious run for a national
soothsayer again.
I'm just saying, I think that,
no.
Hey, I'm not predicting it, but I'm saying that once we get past the holidays in January, February, I'll have a real good feel.
Well, have fun in Madison this weekend.
Looking forward to it.
We'll see
always.
You in a couple of weeks.
You bet.
Bob Look, we'll come back with more here on WXCO.